Hello everyone and welcome to Team Early Childhood Podcast. As always, it is a pleasure that I am saying hello to you all and thank you for listening to us. This week we've got Natalie Reeves Billing, who is an author of Monstrous Me Collection and Ben and the Bug. Hi Natalie.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's lovely and I'm so glad to have you as part of our podcast because I don't know if everybody knows, but you sent me some books, didn't you?
I did.
You did. So before we go into that, Natalie, would you like to, I've given a brief introduction, but would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Of course. Yeah, I'm a children's book author and I like to do things that are a bit different, shall we say. I like to look at things from other points of view, and I realized how important perspective was in early years for children in order to get at topics that they don't really understand. And so I thought that would be a really interesting way to approach children's books, and I created a line of books that allow us to go that bit further with the young, and they don't really realize what it is, but it's laying the foundations for a further conversation, and I really feel like very passionate about that at the moment.
Well, I've got to say, we're going to actually talk about that in a moment, and I'm so excited because I'm sure you probably knew, if everybody saw, I did a review for Natalie's books. The two books that Natalie sent to me was My Daddy is a Monster, and this is where that creativity comes involved, because it's not only is My Daddy is a Monster, it's My Kids Are Monsters too. So I'm sure you're going to talk a bit about that in a moment. And the one that I loved was Ben and the Bug. And I don't know if you noticed, Natalie, but when I did your review for you, I was kind of excited even just typing it out to you. I don't know if that kind of came through.
I did. I noticed.
But I've been banging on about these books to everybody. So everybody I've been talking to saying, oh my God, you've got to look at these books. You've got to get one. And I'm not going to spoil the surprise, but they are different, aren't they, Natalie?
They are. And I was thrilled reading it. I mean, like the same way you were saying that you were excited reading it, it was coming out your fingertips. Well, as I was reading that, I just had like, you know, the giggly worms. I just felt like, oh, you know, I was so pleased that, you know, when you have an idea, it's brilliant when it lands correctly.
Well, I think they're absolutely amazing books, to be honest with you, and hopefully our listeners will know by the end of this podcast how much I enjoyed them and how much they will enjoy them if they purchase them too. So Natalie, we're going to be talking about storytelling, aren't we, and how storytelling can be used as a tool for growth, how we can empower the little ones that you've managed to do through the books, actually, but also how we can help little children start a life of love of reading, really. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And I say this to all of my people that I interview. We've got five questions. Question five is always the same. Which is about your wishes. So hopefully you've been thinking about those.
Right. Okay.
So question number one, you've kind of given us a brief overview, told us a little bit about yourself, but if you could expand a little bit more about how you got into writing, how you started writing, and then a little bit about your Monstrous Me collection and Ben and the Bug.
Sure thing. Well, I started off as a songwriter, which I still do. And so, yeah, from my touring days back in the day, out on the road, rhyming everything. And that came from my mum, really, because she used to have rhyming days when we were kids. And I thought that was a great idea, because for the whole day, we had to speak only in rhyme. And that makes you a poet, even if you didn't know it. So, right. You know, it's impossible to argue in rhyme. And so I thought, how useful that is as a tool. It diffuses terrible situations and helps you to sort of just seek the pleasure out of the day. And so when I had my kids, I realized that rhyming days were going to be introduced. And straight away we got into that. And on those days, they were just a joy. It took me back. I was vicariously reliving my childhood. And it just made me connect to them on a different sort of level. I could remember what it was like to be their age again. And that goes back to the storytelling thing. I think if you can learn to get everything out of your head and onto paper and to explore through your characters and your world building who you are, it helps you to sort of understand not just yourself, but other people, and accept that there are other points of view in the world and anything's possible. So you keep that magic. And I was in, once I started introducing that into the children's lives, they little stories I was telling them in rhyme just started to appear on the page. I just started to jot them down. They started telling the teachers about it at school. And then became sort of real. It kind of pulled me out of my den and into the open air and shone a sort of spotlight on me and said, well, you know, get it down on a Word document. We want to see it. Like, oh God, I don't know about that. I'll try. But it went really well. And I've not looked back since. I'm rolling at the moment.
So just so all of our listeners know, so the books that you've written, the story is told through rhyme. Is that right?
It is so far, yes.
Yeah. And you've got a collection together. So if we focus on the first one, which is the Monstrous Me collection, could you tell us a little bit about that collection that you've got? I mean, I've got one here, yeah, which is My Daddy is a Monster. Mm-hmm. Could you start with that one first, maybe?
Sure. Okay. So, yeah, the idea is that we go through everybody that children will be familiar with, including siblings and mothers and fathers and aunties and uncles and their best friend and even the dogs. At the moment I've done Mummy is a Monster, and Daddy is a Monster was my second in the series. And at the moment I'm working on My Brother and My Sisters Are Monsters. And the idea of those stories is to look at everyday dramas that we have with our children. So things that people can totally relate to in a universal sort of way, that daily battle we have about hair and teeth and walking anywhere at all or any sort of inconvenience to them. And it came about when my daughter, who was only 6 at the time, and she's really grown up for her age sometimes, annoyingly so, and she said to me, how come you're always saying that there are two sides to the story when actually there's only yours? And you know what? It really landed with me because I thought, well, I suppose that's the way it does come across, because they're so used to hearing it, that it's my way, it's my way or the highway, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, how interesting would it be if we actually explored both of those sides of the story? So obviously my children, what do they see me as? When do I annoy them? I actually got them involved. Well, which bits of the day annoy you? And they got it all out and why? And then I sat with them and responded to them about what I thought of those things and what I was actually doing. And it was so interesting. And it just became that book. And then I just wanted to go a bit further and thought, how interesting would it be if the book actually flipped? So if it got to the middle pages and then you actually physically close the book, flip it, and then read the narrative from that point of view. And that further sort of reinforces the message that you're actually physically and literally turning a story on its head.
I absolutely love the fact that, and I think you didn't even tell me anything about the book. You literally just sent them to me and you asked me to tell you what I thought of them.
Yeah.
And I think that when I first started reading it, I thought, where's this go? You know, it was all about, you know, my dad is a monster and then it dawned on me when I flipped the book. That's kind of when the magic happened. I don't want to tell too much because obviously you want people to buy the book. Yeah. But for me, that is when the light bulb came on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And I thought, OMG, this is basically about what you've just explained. Like, it's written in the narrative of, gosh, this is what it looks like for being a parent, but gosh, this is what it's like for children, like you've just said. I mean, how fab that your daughter said that, and the inspiration came from the voice of the child. Yeah. You know, and I just, and that's what I got. I mean, you saw that in my review.
Yeah,
that,
I love with you.
You know, but just to let everyone know, she didn't even tell me anything about this book. But I just found it so special. And when, for me, you know, I'm not going to give it away, but when you get to the end from the child's perspective, my kids are monsters and my daddy is a monster. It just made me think, wow, you know, it was powerful. It's powerful in the fact that you're talking about feelings. And when, you know, for me, this is the voice of, you know, I don't know if you know, Natalie, but a lot of my research and everything is around the voice of the child. And I can't explain how this book does that. I was blown away by it. And I love the flip of the book. I just love that idea. It's immense. I've never seen it done before.
I'm glad I persevered with that, because, you know, at first it was always on my mind that I wanted it to do that. But when I came to actually uploading it to Amazon, they said, no, you can't do that. And I thought, well, actually, I want to do that, but I know how important it is as a start out indie author to be on Amazon in some way. So I just had to make two versions. I made a lower priced paperback version, which was in a linear fashion, which hints at the magic, but doesn't quite get there. And then I have this other version with a different ISBN number, which is a hardback version I had print off myself. And I just thought, I need somebody to see what was in my mind, the exact thing. I want to follow it through. I don't want to compromise anything of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm off to one of the Maintain nursery schools next week, I'm there for the morning. So this is definitely going to be in my bag. Of ones that I'm going to read to them, because even the illustrations are just they're amazing. They're just, I just love the whole, it's magical. And I think that's what we miss sometimes with a book, isn't it? It's that magic that happens.
Important. The illustrations take up you know, they're half of a picture book, aren't they? And so they tell a story as well. So, you know, I mean, I was really keen to capture the hidden meanings in the illustrations too. So when looking into the illustrations, you can see that the perspective is all warped. You can see strange things in reflections, and hidden things that younger children can find that keeps them on the page.
And then you also sent me another one, Natalie, which is called Ben and the Bug.
Yeah.
So would you say that, in my review, you know, I said that this probably would be for maybe older children than maybe four upwards. Would you agree, or do you think there's ways that you could use this for younger children?
I think you're right. I think it is for, I wanted to keep it pictorial so it still seemed playful. And, you know, I just thought if it was of its time and necessary. So I released that almost probably a month after we went into lockdown. So it was a very early on that I released that book. And it was when people were figuring out what they wanted to say to their children, if anything, about what was going on. And we didn't know how long COVID was going to be around for. We still had the illusion that perhaps it might just blow away. But now that there are waves of these things, I think that it will be around for a while, and that we'll have to figure out a way of explaining to children and our youngest ones, you know, as they get old enough to understand. But I didn't want it to go to a point where it was things that were beyond their control. So I was very keen to keep it at a level where it only mentioned things that they could actually do, like wash their hands. And, you know, I didn't want to go into any of the science that was beyond them or to create fear. So I wanted to give the bug a face, and it was a face that allowed children to go outside and know that they had to wash their hands, but also not be fearful of this thing that we do have to live with it, unfortunately. And so I just wanted to take that fear and anxiety away.
Well, I think it's very clever, because I mean, even with the illustrations, it shows you, if anybody's going to buy the book, it actually shows you where all of the germs are, for example, at the playground or in the home or in the, you know, it's not just, you know, it's everywhere that basically the child goes, isn't it, where places are touched or without washing your hands. And it's so, you know, I think we saw some posters coming out during lockdown, and if I'm honest with you, I don't think they were very child friendly. I think there's something here to maybe turn some of these illustrations into some posters for our early years and education settings. I think they'd be amazing. I think we saw some posters, Natalie, come out, and they weren't very child friendly. They were very, but I think Ben and the Borg is definitely child friendly, and it really gets the message out there. So thank you for sending me those books. They were amazing, and as you know, we've talked so much about the excitement that we've got about those books. But honestly, everybody who's listening, you need to get hold of the Monstrous Me collection, and maybe for the older early years child, the Ben and the Bug, because they are absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
So, okay, so we're going to go on to question number two, Natalie. So, can you explain? You've already kind of explained where it all started from, but you talk very much. I mean, this is something that you've said, that this is your social enterprise. These are your books that offer an interactive, active story. So how are you going to move that forward now? So you've got these stories. Where do you want to move them on to? How are they going to move forwards?
Well, initially I had a set of comprehension exercises and craft exercises that followed the books that were free to download for parents. I'm really passionate about narrowing the education gap and making sure that these resources are available for everybody. So I always put my downloads in both colour and black and white, so that anyone can copy it or even trace it. And so I wanted to offer content that just goes that bit further. So obviously it's a jumping off point for families and for schools and nurseries. And then I wanted to question whether they've understood what was their perspective of it? What do they now think of mum? What do they now think of children? Can they see both sides of the story? And then I thought, well, there's actually another side that we can, there's another layer here that we can look at, another inexpensive way that we can engage with that. And so I started to think of paper crafts and how we can do something around that. So I developed a range of what I call monster blocks. So they're like the Lego version of the monsters, and they're easy to cut out, and you can make the characters, and you can then interact with the characters. They have accessories, they have furniture that you see in the book. They have, you can make a shoebox puppet show out of them. That allows you then to actually play the roles, I suppose, very much like a barrister would argue both sides of a story in order to train. And I guess that this is teaching children to switch it. Like, one day you play this side and one day you're on the other side, and what do you think of it then? And I think it's a great way to get children to know who they are, through this sort of questioning. And the other thing is masks. I love that idea that the children can wear masks and of the monsters and basically play those different roles. So they can stick it on. One minute they're the child monster. They all have different names: Pinky, Stink, Perplexa, Disgusted, and all these different types of monsters. So then I went another step further. This is bonkers. Absolutely bonkers, but I sort of hinted at the months of the year in a sort of zodiac form. I didn't go there, but I assigned a monster to each of those roles in order to look at personality. So it's a bit of fun, so that the kids say, "What monster are you? What type of monster are you?" So
And it's, I think doing it through monsters. I mean, I think one of the questions I was going to ask was, why monsters? But actually, children quite, if the monsters are quite fun, and not so scary, which I think you've got the balance quite right, actually. Children are interested, aren't they, in all of that? So
I think that there are a lot of monsters out there that in the past there's been monsters that have done monsters a disservice, but now I think there are monsters out there that are bigging up the monster population, I think. Where I just wanted
to definitely need to, big up the positive monsters.
Positive monsters, and I guess it's just a way of looking at, we all have a monster hidden in us, whatever that thing is. Now and then it will show its face when we lose our temper or lose our patience, and I think it's nice that children know that we aren't superhuman. and nobody's perfect, if they understand that thing that they're singing, it kind of helps them to, you know, to get some balance, I guess, about it. It's not a shock when it happens, when mummy suddenly loses her temper.
So I think that links into question number three, really. So what is it that you want the readers to get from the books, and who, you know, age-wise, who are they specifically for?
Well, I thought about this, and at first I thought it was about the children, and I think it predominantly is, but I think more so it's about the experience that families can have when they spend a bit of time doing this together. Like we talked about it before, but it is an active read. When you read the Monstrous Me collection, it isn't something you can zone out and think about what you're going to do later while you're perming your hair or something. It's definitely something that you're present for, because you're going to hear what the children think of the daily events, and then you're going to respond with what you thought of them. And so it's kind of making you present in the moment. And I think that's so important right now, like how often we found ourselves sitting there in like five different mindsets pulled towards what work we've got to do, what we're doing next week on a night out, or, you know, there's so many things going on in our head that we kind of need something to pull us back to those things that really matter, which is just some time out of the day to be with our little ones, you know, and watch them in that magic time of their life.
One question I was going to ask is, obviously, the book does depict quite a traditional family.
Yes.
You know, which is fine, because they are still the majority of our population. But is there scope to maybe, you know, have a family that's maybe two dads or two mums, or, well, you know, could that happen at some point?
Mind. Basically, what and I think this is what I was talking about earlier on. But what I want to do is, I've started off a sort of template, if you like, a starting point for growth, something that is going to go from here and explore lots of different things. So once I'm done with this, and, you know, basically it's all dependent on how I can get visibility and get it out there and start getting the message. If that happens, I would absolutely love to explore everything, you know, that I could possibly, you know, that's part of it. This perspective is perfect for looking at things through two different points of view and questioning your thoughts on these things and your views, things that you mightn't have even consciously thought that you thought. And so I am really keen to go there and explore lots of things, discrimination and, you know, bullying, sharing, you know, all those things. I definitely do want to look at those themes. It's so important. It lends itself so well to that. And, you know,
I think one of the strong points of your books is that it's a book that the whole family can read.
Yeah.
And it's something that, well, even practitioners can read to the children in a way that could open up many other kind of questions. So because it's kind of honing in, I mean, this one really is honing in on your feelings, isn't it? It's honing in on, you know, like you said, not everyone can be superhuman all the time. And I think it's a fantastic message to get through, that actually it's okay that we're having a bad day, basically. It's okay that you dislike that. It's, you know, it might be that you like this, but you dislike that. But I also think it can open up many other avenues, you know, your Monstrous Me collection around LGBTQ, you know, anti-racism, equality, diversity. And I think it just opened, like you said, you've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Exactly. I mean, the thing is with how I started was just looking at my own family, I guess. So all of those characters are us, I guess. And you. And then from here, what I want to do is you're very conscious, aren't you, when you're introducing things like the aunties and the uncles and stuff, and you want to make sure you cover them thoroughly. So I want to give them, you know, the chance to be personalities in their own right, rather than just ticking the boxes, I guess. But what I want to do is round up the Monstrous Me collection and then look at a split perspective series that tackles some other issues through some characters. And I would love to look at that, and I would love to talk to you about that in the future, you know, looking at viewpoints that I haven't experienced, and I would absolutely love to explore that.
I suppose it could be that through the lens of your children, you know maybe through their classmates, or you know how their families live differently, you know, yeah. when they go and play at their play date at, you know, Tarquin's house, or you know, some, I'd imagine, you know, yeah. but you get what I mean. I just think the magic of the book is that's what makes it so special. I think that when I got that book, I thought, oh, this is a book about monsters, but it is a book about monsters, but it's not. the underlying fact is about the way the message is told is so on trend and on point that I just think that these books, I think they're going to be big, Natalie. I really, really do. I think they really, really support the emotions, you know, the empathy that, you know, I keep going on about it, but I even said to my husband the other day, I've never seen a book like this. And he read it and he went, no, neither have I. And it was just, I don't know. I just think they're so magical. And I think you've done something really, really magical here, Natalie. So well done from me, really.
Well, just so that you can hear my lousy word pun on this, but I actually invented the city that they live. So they live in Monstrosity. And so
Monstrosity, yeah.
That's where all the characters that we meet. So as I'm going to send you a book every time one comes out, but you will see that I start to introduce different characters, and you know, in each book, and you start, it opens up the world bit by bit. So then you see
the Monstrometer is, I love the Monstrometer.
Oh yeah, because they actually reveal the true monster inside of us. So I'm hoping to get that on a bookmark, you know, so that you can do, remember the buttercup?
Yeah,
I want to, like, so children can hold it up and see what monsters they are. So yeah, I mean, it's so playful, but it also is very poignant, I think.
I just loved it when I am going to have to spoil one, but I just loved it when Dad takes the children to the football. I won't say what happens, but I just the whole emotion. You can just imagine, can't you? The children there going, "Oh, for goodness sake, we're here again." You know, I want to be home. You know, I want to be playing with my toys. I don't want to be sat here at football. But it's lovely just seeing it from the different perspectives. You know. And the fact that Dad thinks, oh, yeah, this is great, you know. And I just love that. I just love it.
Yeah. You know? Me too. You know, it's so interesting looking at that viewpoint because, you know, poor Dad's thinking he's doing something good. But at the same time, he only does what he wants to do with them.
Can I just say, though, Natalie, I noticed that you weren't on there. So you don't go to football.
Well, none of us do, you know. I just... it's just, you know, what we do. I mean, we're boring, I've got to say. We do things like, I mean, like, obviously I've told you, like, my husband's into the saxophone and he drives us all balmy with that. But apart from that, you know, the only other thing we really do is bash a tennis ball around an old tennis court down the road. So my son doesn't really like football at all, but we were thinking about what is that thing that they could do together. And I did polls on social media, you see. So for anything where I thought, they suggested some scenarios to me and I thought, oh God, this one doesn't really relate to me much. So I'm going to have to do some polls and understand it. I just tried to make it whatever won on the day got into the book, if you get me.
So, Do you know what's really funny? You have just captured the essence of children at the football match. And I just think it's hilarious because I remember having to go to football with my dad. And I hated it. I'm not into football. I mean, that probably does not come as a surprise. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd go to the football match. Do you know what I mean? I would go now because there's beer involved. Yeah. But as a child, you know, I used to... It was just a spark moment where I thought, you've captured this so well. Yeah. I hated every minute when I went there, but my dad thought it was the best thing since sliced bread, you know, and it was just hilarious. It really, really was.
For me, it's the same as when you know, skiing or anything. It's just, what am I doing this to myself for? I'm cold. The seat's made of plastic.
That's right.
Butter, and, you know.
I couldn't think of anything worse, to be fair. No.
Seats with the holes in, with the wind blowing.
I'd rather be on a beach with a cocktail.
So would I.
Isn't it funny? That leads us to question number four. So, as you know, and obviously as my listeners know, I'm completely blown away by the concept of your book. So I've already kind of given you maybe some ideas, but what I would like to see from you in the near future?
Right. Okay. So the next book in the series is coming out, and that explores siblings, the sibling rivalry. And I have fun doing that. Oh, I got some good revenge doing that.
I bet.
Yes. And I had them in a sort of therapy session talking about what annoys each other about the other, because there's only 10 months between mine, you see. So I thought it would be quite a fractious point, but actually they're quite disciplined with their exchanges between each other. So I thought, oh, my books are working. I'm also releasing a range of Christmas cards, flip Christmas cards for Santa Monster. Everyone's going to be a monster by the end of this. But also, I've just been asked by my local charity, the Clare House charity, and we're looking at doing a book which looks at a message around loss and grief in children, how they handle that. So that'll be a different kind of for me, and a different journey for me to go on. But I'm very I'm humbled that they've asked me to do it, and I really do want to understand what that feels like for another sibling when a brother or a sister is ill and they're going through that. So that will be a difficult one, but one that I feel really passionate about, and I definitely want to explore and do a good job of.
Well, I think that sounds really, really exciting, and I can't wait to read that, because I've literally just done an article on loss and at current times, so that'd be lovely to read. And you mentioned Christmas cards as well, so yes. When are they going to be available?
Well, I've just sent off my design. I've just signed off on it because he looked a little bit grinchy. And I thought, oh, he's too grinchy. So I had to mix him up a little bit, change his eyebrows, change his grin. I think that they'll be on the website by sort of early November.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll definitely be purchasing some Christmas cards. I can send them out, you see, to my team at work. So, if anybody is listening to this, definitely go to Natalie's website. Natalie, would you like to tell us a little bit about your website and give us the website address so that people can go to it?
Sure thing. It is lollipoplodge.net.
Lollipoplodge.net. And they can purchase the books that we've talked about today?
There's links to both the paperback versions and the hardback flipbook versions, and also the free downloads from there as well for activities for the kids.
Brilliant. So not only are you getting the books, you're also getting some free downloads off the website as well. So I'm blown away, Natalie. I really, really am. And I know that when people start actually buying your book and purchasing your book, they will be blown away too. I definitely am going to purchase a couple for my niece and nephew for Christmas as well, because they're brilliant little Christmas presents, like as a little gift for Christmas. But if anybody's listening to Team Early Childhood Podcast and you're in the early years or primary education, definitely buy these books. They will definitely be a talking point within the book corner, I think, and also for story time as well. So Natalie, that leads us on to the question that I ask everybody. I always say you can't say you're going to win the lottery, but nobody's ever said that they want to win the lottery, so you could be the one, who knows. It's tradition. So question number five: if I could grant you three wishes, what would they be?
Okay, so the first one would be to give me clarity so that I don't entertain 100 or more thoughts at one time. So to clear my mind and give me a priority list, please. That would be the first one. The second one would be a wish to overcome my insane phobia about food poisoning. How insane. is that. But yes, I've got vomiting phobia of all things. And so I'm like a baby when that happens. So yeah, that would be.
To be fair, I don't think many people like being sick. So you're probably, to be fair, like many of the listeners. So yeah, I've got a phobia of, just to throw it out there, I've got a phobia of spiders and cows.
Cows? Why? Cows.
Even though I don't know, because I've got actually got pictures in my house of cows. I've got a couple of prints. I took children once on a trip and the cows started stampeding, and since that day I've never been able to look at a cow again in the same way. And I, honestly, you laugh, but they stare me out, and they know that it's time to run after me. I just know it happens. So yeah, I'm
gonna see that in action.
so and your third one?
And my third one would just be for health and happiness for me and everybody that I know.
Oh, that's lovely. And I think that's a really, really nice one. Yeah. And probably on point at the moment, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Making sure, you know, and being kind as well, I think is a big one. Yeah. Well, Natalie, thank you so, so much for coming and talking to me and Team Early Childhood.
Thank you.
Have you enjoyed it?
I've loved it. Yeah, I'm going to have a big fat sausage roll now for my lunch.
Oh, lovely.
I'll smile the whole time while I'm eating a cup of tea.
Well, everyone, if you would like to eat a big fat sausage roll with Natalie, please go ahead and do that. Get yourself a nice cuppa, listen to Team Early Childhood podcasts, and it's a goodbye from me and a bye from Natalie.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Natalie. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.